This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome to another episode of The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast with your hosts, Bill Patterson and Chet West.
Bill, we had some big wins over the last couple days. Awesome pitching, could be witnessing the end of Maeda's career, but that's obviously one of the smaller issues. Let's talk about the positive. What did you see over the last couple days? How are you feeling?
Feeling exceptional. I mean, the Tigers look nothing short of fantastic. And, you know, to win three straight games at home against a division rival, 35,000 in attendance yesterday at Comerica Park. The weather looked great for this stage in April in the Midwest. Nothing short of fantastic. The pitching's just been clinical. So what are your thoughts on it? And then maybe I'll dive into a game one recap.
When we get to the end of the tidbits, I'm going to give you a funny little quote I heard throughout this series from the Royals broadcasters about our pitching. So I don't get it. Remind me. But I loved watching us take three easy. I mean, it was pretty easy, those three games. Really not challenged a whole lot in any of the three games so far. We got Skubal going today for number four. I love taking four in a row early in the season from a team that we thought was going to be a pest in the AL Central. So that, I mean, I'm on top of the moon right now. Different feels than what we had coming out of the Brewers series, where we looked flat and our offense looked dead for two games or 18 innings in a row or whatever it was. Why don't we dive in here? But I want to call something out first. We got some listeners out there. We got some supporters. We got a few people out there who are listening to our show. You want to say a little thank you to anybody, Bill?
Yeah. Cousin Nick and his coworkers down at the GM building who partake in the Detroit Tigers businessman special whenever they can. Loyal listeners. And then brother-in-law Brett has been nothing short of fantastic, giving us feedback and listening in to every episode. How about you, Chad?
Yeah, he had my brother Ben down at and some of his buddies down at Toyota Gosei who have been listening to us since episode one. You guys, thanks for hanging with us, keeping our numbers in Michigan up. And of course, friends, family, neighbors from the great state of Minnesota have all been chiming in over the last couple weeks and giving me some thoughts and ideas, and also just kind of keeping up with our pod here. They are not Tigers fans, but they are baseball fans, many of them. And we appreciate your listening, Bill. Let's get into this series. Let's talk about all the good stuff we've seen so far and some of the bad, I guess. What do you give me your game one assessment? 6-1 win for the Tigers in game one. What
did you pitching see? Clinic? If you had to put it in two words, Reese Olson was fantastic. Tyler Holton and Tommy Connolly were just lights out. I mean, the pitching has been so great this year, and it just showed again. The Royals could not get anything going save Bobby Witt Jr., who seems to be the player that we all thought he was. That being said, he is not getting a lot of help from the rest of the lineup. Riley Green back on track. He had a 3-for-5 day. Zach McKinstry is not only getting on base, he's taking walks. I don't know if I forgot it, but I needed the reminder that was game one. He is a track star on the base paths. Bobby Witt Jr. is one of the fastest players in the American League, and Zach McKinstry was every bit as quick as he was on the base paths.
Oh, yeah.
And then this is interesting. You and I do, you know, kind of call notes and game by game notes. We have something here that's like Torkelson update. Is he where we need him? ?
This is ChatGPT misinterpreting me trying to organize these things and giving me. This is why you don't just put ChatGPT out there and let do your work. Folks, yeah, I think he's where we need him. I'm pretty
sure
he's
absolutely where we need him. And technology's great. Every now and then, it can insert a question mark.
Literally, Torkelson update. Is he where we need him? Still not where we need him? Come on, ChatGPT.
I don't think he could be doing anything more.
I think it was like the note I pumped in there was torque bomb. And so I think they took it as he was bombing. Yeah, I don't know. Anyhow,
the only concern out of the game, and I'm being really nitpicky here, And again, this is going to correct itself once people start getting healthy. At the bottom of the lineup, again, we're not showing a full 1-9 lineup at times. And it really doesn't matter who's there on a day-to-day basis. We've gotten great production too. So again, it's a negative or a concern. That being said, I just don't know how sustainable it is for what we've been given from Javi Baez, what we've been given from essentially two backup catchers, even though I think you and I can agree that Dylan Dingler's off to an amazing start.
Oh, yeah.
And probably will supplant or move ahead of Jake Rogers when Jake Rogers returns is the Tigers starting or go-to catcher. That being said, there's still some holes in that lineup. We know why that is, the fact that we don't have a healthy center fielder. And just a real quick news and notes from the farm. Interestingly enough, there isn't a healthy body at AAA Toledo to play center field right now either. Yeah. And they're having to kind of play musical chairs there as well. So it's
a bit of a void.
It's right a systemic now. Problem through yeah. the, throughout the yeah. organization. But overall, I mean, if I had to summarize that game, it was nothing short of amazing, and the pitching is absolutely, you know, lights out. We're getting key clutch hitting. It's so great to see Riley Green back on track with that. And it was great to see the support he got from the Tigers dugout when he did get the hit. And I don't know if you saw this, but he was gesturing to the dugout to keep the ball, like kind of, you know, childish, you know, smiling.
Love it.
And the guys
were
all
just... Hey, you know what? He can make fun of himself. It's great. He's having fun with it.
The team is having fun. You can tell these guys genuinely like each other and play for each other. AJ Hinch is pulling all the right, you know, levers, strings, however we want to phrase it. And they're just having a great time. So I don't really have anything more to say about game one unless you do. And then why don't you take us a little bit through game two, please?
I think you covered game one pretty well there. Game two, final score looks like it might have been a little closer than the whole game. It's 7-3 win.
It didn't feel that way, though.
No, not it didn't feel that way ever. The whole game was kind of out of reach. Honestly, I mean, the last 4.5 innings were not a snooze fest, but it was kind of like, okay, this is one of those where you want to get out, get the win, not burn through the bullpen, do some crazy stuff. You know, Thomas Nito went 3-for-4. Love seeing that out of our backup catcher at the moment. He's a guy that brought up from AAA to fill in for Rogers while the stash was injured. Torque 1-for-3, 2 RBIs. Another lovely game from Torque. Obviously, we're seeing what we need from him.
The only way Nito could have played better is if he had had a mustache like Rogers.
Do we need
Wouldn't that have been glorious?
Do they have a suggestion box for mustaches in the Tigers clubhouse? More. That would be fabulous.
The anti-New York Yankees. We need more facial hair.
Our young guy, Trey Sweeney, 2-for-2. Job went 5 innings, 1 earned run, 5 Ks. I got a note in here. How'd he look? He looked great. I mean, that's exactly what you want Jackson Job to look like. He did this last time out, too. I think it was a 6-inning, similar result. He's, you know, no low walks, not blowing the strikeout stat out of the water or anything, but I could care less. He's getting guys out. He's not putting us in trouble. He's not making too many stupid mistakes. He's not throwing too many bad pitches. He has been workmanlike for the last 2 games. That's exactly where you want to see him right now. We had a bullpen parade with Hanafy, Holton, Canley, Vest, Brebbia, all of them solid. Biggest concern coming out of this whole thing. Well, 2 concerns. We still don't have a Colt Keith resurgence yet. Still April. The big concern here is Maeda. He looked absolutely terrible. He came in with a 7-1 game in the 9th inning. You just want him to get 3 quick outs and end it. I mean, don't cause us to go to the pen to replace you in the middle of the 9th with a 6-run lead. And lo and behold, he's just turns into the carousel. Runs are scoring. He's walking guys. He's getting hit hard. He's hanging off speed pitches up in the zone. Next thing you know, and you know, Hinch comes out to get him. First thing he does is kind of rub his shoulder and he looks ticked off. He knows he's not good right now. And I think we just might be seeing kind of the phasing out of Kenta Maeda's career before our eyes here. He's getting up there in age, and he obviously does not have it this season. I mean, he didn't have it last season, really. So I think that was kind of the only negative I would take away from this whole thing is I'd like to get out of there with a 7-1 win and an easy 9th inning and not have to tap the bullpen again to close out a game because you loaded the bases or put, you know, packed the bags with a 7-1 lead. And so it ended up being 7-3. But I'm good with it. I don't have a problem. We got out of there with a win in game two. And that was the Cole Ragans game too, also. So I did not think we would touch him as much as we did. And we beat him up pretty good. Pretty good outing for the squad against a very good pitcher. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I do have a couple. Let's finish up on Ragans. I mean, if Scoobal hadn't done what Scoobal did last year, he very easily would have won the American League Cy Young. He's a heck of a pitcher. And this goes back to just, I know we're only through game two, but sure. Kansas City's stars from last year, save Junior, Bobby Witt Jr., aren't performing to the level that we typically expect them. And I was stunned that Cole Ragans didn't have a better outing in any way, shape, or form, and that the Tigers did rough him up. I choose to be more complimentary of the Tigers on this, but another thing we need to talk about is longtime Royal. They'll probably build a statue of him for the World Series win, but their catcher, Salvi Perez, is off to the worst start of his career.
Yeah.
And you can't help but wonder when guys are on the other side of, you know, 32, if the career's over. Let's talk about Maeda really quick. I want to flash back before the pod to the signing, and you and I did exactly what we're doing now, but just on a phone conversation, and you absolutely blasted the Tigers brass for the signing at the time and said that it was awful. And the best retort I could come up with for your facts, your figures, your opinions was, let's wait and see.
I think we waited.
We have waited, we have seen, and we have gotten every ounce of juice that we could squeeze out of the orange. And at this point, I don't know what you do with them. You know,
guys making $10 million this year.
Do you cut them outright? I mean, clearly they're trying to find a role for him. And, you know, the days of him being a reliable starter are definitely seemingly in the rearview mirror. I wouldn't trust him to do a spot start now. I mean, he labored to get through not just an inning, Chet. I mean, it was one third of one inning. And he doesn't have it. And I don't know if he was rubbing his shoulder, maybe there is an injury concern and maybe we're being a bit too harsh. But again, you know, going back to the Perez analogy, he's on the wrong side of 30 and we could be looking at his career, you know, on the tail end or on the downslope. So that all being said,
it'd be interesting to see how they use him.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's not a Tiger now when we're potting a month from now. Hey, and I want to give a special shout out. You are playing hurt today, battling a little bit of a head cold. So
a little bit.
I just, you know, I want the listeners to know that, you know,
we soldier on.
Yeah. I'm going to move over to game three now just to keep us on track.
Yeah.
Tigers win 3-1. And I don't mean to be so short on this, but it was nothing short of just an awesome, enjoyable game to have on in the background. I was doing yard work and getting things put together on the outdoor deck and all that good stuff. Basically, we had one inning of Spencer Torkelson magic, the Torquedo. And Casey Mize has been awesome this year. Casey Mize is just a workhorse. He gives innings. He gets guys out. And again, the one thing I really want to hammer home is the Tigers staff and their bats are doing two things different this year that they've carried over from the last, let's say, 6 weeks of the 2024 season. The batters are keeping their bats on their shoulder and they are taking walks. They're seeing pitches. And the staff, from the starters through the bullpen, with the exception of one guy that we've already hammered on, they don't walk people. And if they do, they course correct it really quick and make sure that they try to turn the double play and they're limiting runners on base. I mean, it's awesome. And especially against a talent like Bobby Witt Jr., who if he gets on first, he's pretty much at third. He reminds me of Ricky Henderson back in the day. I mean, he finds a way, whether it's a hit and run, whether it's a stolen base, just to advance. And they've limited the damage. And to your point earlier, this could be decisive. You don't win anything in April, but you can lose a lot. If the Royals do get swept, which I think we're feeling pretty good about with Scoobal on the mound today, that's going to be hard for them to overcome later on. Because I'm going to use the Bill Parcells, Bill Walsh analogy, different sport I know, but division games count too, you know, because that's who you have to beat to get to the postseason. And it's way too early to say, but I think we can feel pretty confident that the AL East will send the Yankees and possibly one other to the playoffs. It yep. looks very, very likely that the Rangers and Astros will probably be there as well. So it doesn't leave that many spots. Winning the division's the clearest path. It's always the best path. And this series thus far has gone a long way. I didn't think when we'd have this pod that you and I would be sitting here like, hey, we've already got a series win, plus we've got our ace coming, you know, and that feels yeah. really good. So any thoughts?
First and foremost, Casey Mize, 7 innings, 4 hits and a run, 1 walk, 3 Ks. Again, like not blowing anybody out of the water with the strikeout numbers, but
he doesn't need to.
Definitely doing what we would hope Casey Mize would be doing at this point in his career. We didn't think we were going to get this. We weren't sure we were ever going to get to see this, but here he is. Hanafy and Vest did not allow much. You got a hit off of Hanafy and a walk and a hit off Vest, but he closed the thing out. 3-1 game. It was kind of one inning of offense for the Tigers, 2 hits and a dinger for our boy Torque. Yeah, we're seeing everything we need to see for Torque. If he'd like to sprinkle a little more in, I'm great with that. I love it. But other than that, like, I take what we get there happily.
Absolutely. One thing that I do want to talk about that's just kind of been cumulative over the series, and it's going to happen, it's a long season, injuries to the bullpen.
Yeah.
Brebbia has a tricep injury, and Bo Brisky hurt his ankle Friday. And so now we're down 2 key members of that bullpen, which probably does 2 things. One, it's going to weaken the bullpen. Obviously, you're down 2 of your more reliable arms. And 3, it probably means, or I guess point 2 would be that Maeda probably stays up, and they're probably going to keep trotting him out there and seeing what he has until these guys get healthy. That being said, I love the way the Tigers use this bullpen and that nobody's really slotted to do anything, whether it's high leverage, even though it seems like Holton kind of seems to be their first guy out of the pen for high leverage situations. And then you've got Vest closing out games. You've got Cannelly closing out games. It's just a fun team to watch because it's not reliant on just, you know, one guy doing one thing.
Sure.
I say that. And of course, Torque's like carrying the offensive load right now. That being said,
there's some other guys doing some damage, yeah. But Torque's been out of his mind.
So another thing I just wanted to comment on that they mentioned yesterday is the Tigers have the fewest errors in the American League.
Which is odd.
I know. Because
based on what we've seen and talked about. Didn't we just have a pod the other day about how the fielding's awful? Like, I saw this and I'm like, did ChatGPT do something again here with this script? And then I went in and I took a look and yeah, how is that possible?
Apparently musical chairs in the infield and outfield is just the way to go.
Were we losing and we just had some sort of a bias and we were just picking out like the 1 or 2 things that happened in that series? I mean, and we just felt awful. So we had to blame it on something. I don't know. I don't get it.
I think I do know what we referenced. One was our guy, Margot, when he came up lame in right
that
field.
That was many series ago. Yeah, that was a while ago.
I think
ago.
That was like the Yankee series. And then the other seemed like it took Sweeney and Torres a minute to kind of figure out the turning two, you know, at second, trying to get the double play going. That being said, it didn't really lead to errors. And then I think the whole team kind of had slick gloves or whatever you want to phrase it, you know, loose gloves, that last game of the Brewers series. But now, I mean, if you think about it, they've been pretty much lights out on that. So that's probably us watching a lot of baseball and being a little bit too critical. So
I think you just get, you know, you get negative. It's the fan mindset, the psychology of the fan is you watch your team kind of tank in a game or two. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, what did we do wrong? What's going on? One of the funniest things that came out of this series, you'll see it somewhere out there on social media, but I believe it was Rex Hudler does color for the Royals, who I believe are a bottom five baseball broadcasting, like awful announcing, has them down there in the bottom five somewhere, said that, you know, this Tigers team, they've got great hitting. They've got some really young, great players. He goes, their weakness might be their starting pitching. And it was like the record scratched. Yeah, go check it out. I was like, dude, did you do any research? First of all, our weaknesses are starting pitching. We have the reigning Cy Young, who has also been lights out so far this season. I can't figure out where he got that from.
The front runner for Rookie of the Year in Jackson Jobe right now.
Like, bizarre. You guys.
That's awful announcing.
You guys are at the bottom of the awful announcing rankings for a reason.
That is fantastic.
Coming in with something like that. We are a top five pitching by, like, statistically top five. I think we're 5th in ERA in MLB right now, which ERA is okay. It's not FIP, but I think we're like 4th or 5th in FIP. Like, it's somebody can go dive in, look at these stats a little more, but come on, do better. Just do better.
Yeah, do better. Ridiculous. Do a lot better. Speaking of that, I do want to give a couple shout outs. Comerica Park looks fantastic this year. The grass looks great. Infield, the Monument Park might be some of the most attractive in Major League Baseball, if not the most attractive, since the new Yankee Stadium was constructed. And then I'm going Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm going to sit in the climate-controlled seats and give you a full review after that Padres game.
Yeah.
Behind the plate.
That's going to be incredible.
I will see if I can do damage in the all-you-can-eat, all-you-can-drink category, but I
and why
imagine
wouldn't
my
have,
best days are behind me on that.
Why wouldn't they have climate-controlled seats?
First in the Major League.
Unbelievable. I mean, like, is it like a car? It's like when you're in your car and you have the seat heaters on.
I believe it's exactly that. And, but they also have, you know, the air conditioned or, you know, the cooling mechanism. So trust me, I'm going to try it all. Okay.
Sometimes, and this might be my old age catching up with me, but sometimes when I get in my car and the seat heater's automatic, like it's already on and I don't expect it. And that warm sensation kicks in after a couple minutes. I feel like I peed my pants every once in a while.
So that's the question. Do I wear jeans or do I just wear Viore to maximize my comfort level?
I think you wear Viore to maximize your comfort. You let that heat really seep in.
Yeah. And the cold. I'm going to flip back and forth. If I break it, I mean, that's the Tigers' problem.
Could you imagine complaining about your seat? Excuse me, the seat's not doing the climate control thing. Oh, gosh.
And who has to bring deal me with that? Horse, please. And last one, speaking of food, Benetti and Petrie are as awesome as Dierks and Benetti are. I think we know who the straw is that stirs the drink.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out again to Benetti. He's amazing. So apparently, Arby's does a special that if the Tigers do X, you get a free curly fry. And so sure enough, they're driving back from Chicago and decide to go to an Arby's to test it out. And they go through the drive-thru window. And what does the person say? We're not a participating location.
What?
So they now have this joke that they're like, every time they read it, they're like, but make sure it's a participating
location. Make sure it's a participating location. Who doesn't get to participate? I don't get it. Like, we're not buying in. Sorry.
I'm just picturing them pulling off.
I love Peaches. Dierks is great. I think Dierks and Benetti together are fabulous. I get very excited when I tune into a game and they're on. And I love Peaches, too. He does a good job also. Is that slightly different flavor? You know, he's maybe a little more laid back, maybe a little less on the comedy side of things. It still baffles me that there's people out there that complain about Benetti. You guys know who you are. Like, go listen to the Royals broadcast for crying out loud. Go listen to the Rockies broadcast. I swear you will turn it off within an inning, no matter how good the baseball is. The announcing destroys it. Benetti is state of the art. We're gonna carry that torch through this whole podcast till the day's ends. But yeah, they're a great team together, and I like Peaches too. He and Milt Wilcox were my guys back in the day, so got nothing but love for him.
Really good reference.
Well, what do we think? We got Game 4 coming up here. We got a Scooble outing. What a great way to wrap up a four-game set on a Sunday, by the way.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be just looking for, you know, I don't want to jinx them. I don't want to get too excited, but boy, a four-game sweep of the Royals would be beautiful right now.
It really would. And I'm just going to give you some odds.
Yeah,
please do. It opened at over under 8.5 runs. It's now it's 6.5. So Vegas is telling us something there. And then the crazy thing is it opened at 165 for the Royals, and it's now plus 180. So the smart money's going on the Tigers. Again, the Tigers opened at 190 on the money line. It's 215 now. This is courtesy of ESPN's book. It's just the app that I'm on right now. I don't actually wager through them. And the matchup predictor says that the Tigers have a close to 75% chance of winning.
Yeah.
No surprise there was Scooble on the mound. I mean, his ERA right now is at 2.66. I mean, most of that was absorbed in that opening game against the Dodgers. His whip's just over one, and, you know, he's an innings eater per usual, 23.2.
Yep.
I'm expecting really good things on that.
Do we have a starting lineup yet?
Yeah, this is what I'm reading. Torres leading off, Carpenter in the two hole, McKinstry in right field. Excuse me, Carpenter's going to be in left field. Obviously, Torres is at second base. McKinstry in right field, Torque batting cleanup first, Green batting fifth, center field, Dingler catching, Keith DHing, Sweeney short, and then Baez at third. And I got to give a shout out to our guy. he is taking this like a champ batting in the nine hole. And that's got to be frustrating that he's batting, you know, behind a Trey Sweeney and, you know, Cole Keith, who,
sure,
yes, he's taking walks, sure, but he is really struggling.
But I, like I said earlier, I think that nine spot is a more valued spot in the lineup now than it has been in the past. I think a lot of these managers, especially with the advanced analytics, love having somebody to set the table for the 1-2-3 guys up there. Like, it's almost like the leadoff, but it's not. You're like the leadoff for the leadoff or something. So, and he succeeded there. So you don't want to move him around too much and mess with Baez at this point. He's doing quite well in that spot. I am not looking for him to have a huge game today. One of the guys that I think is going to come out and mash today is Karp. I think we're going to see a big Karp game today.
Okay.
I'll throw that out there. I think that we will see, you know, you can't count out Torque right now. So I think Torque, his metrics fit this one pretty well too. Dingler, another guy that I'm picking to click today. I think he's going to be pretty good. There isn't a metric that really supports this, but I got a strange feeling that our guy Colt Keith might get off the schneid today.
All right.
It's a vibe more than anything else. Go with that.
My guy or pick to click today is Zach McKinstry. In the three hole.
You like McKinstry today.
I just think he's going to be a pest. I think he's going to get on base today and be a pest once he's there.
It says something that he's hitting in the three hole.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, like from a statistical standpoint, there isn't a lot that supports it other than the fact that he's just been so hot lately. He's just been an absolute grinder lately and he's been getting on base. Like you said, he's showing off his legs. So yeah, I could get behind that. I'd like to see the whole lineup go crazy today.
He's the meat between the bread on the sandwich that is Karp and Torque. Do you have any other final thoughts as we go into the Scooble Sunday finale?
I don't have any other final thoughts. We've got our guys we're looking at to cash in here. It'd be great to go 4-0. I think this puts us at, like, if we win today, we're 9-1 against the division. Does that number sound right to start the season?
Yeah.
We swept the Sox. If we get a sweep today, that's a 7. That's 7.
And then the Twins, we went
2-1. We got 2 out of 3 from the Twins.
Your math's correct.
My math is correct on that, at least. It's 9-1 in the division in April so far to start off the season. That's a nice jump on the division
at
this point.
Add something interesting to that, too. If you add in the Yankees series, which, you know, they took 2 of 3, they're playing well against the American League, which is really how you build your roster. You know, you can't build your roster for the fact that, I understand with the balanced schedule, you play the National League everybody at least once.
Sure.
Meaning.
Sure.
That being said, it's interesting that the struggles have come thus far against the Dodgers and somewhat, you know, those two, game 2 and game 3 against the Brewers. So, you know, forecasting ahead or looking ahead, this Padres series is just going to be juicy. This Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm really looking forward to it.
They got a bit of a meat grinder coming up.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm going to be climate controlled Tuesday. And then
Be great.
The General Motors building boys are going to join me for the matinee on Wednesday.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
I'll get your review on the seats in the environment at Copa.
All right.
All right, man.
Have a good one. Enjoy your Easter Sunday and
feel
better.
Get rid of this cold.
Appreciate you playing hurt, buddy.
No problem. Have a good one.